Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona, and we're so excited to be on BPN Radio. I tell you what, this is a great day, and it's a Sunday, and we're so privileged to be part of BPN Radio and be part with Pastor Dale Gentry, and God is awesome, isn't he? We're grateful. And I tell you what, we can't praise the Lord enough for this great day. So listen, our scripture today is in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. If you want to turn there, this is a well-known scripture about the Samaritan. But we want to analyze some of the things that Jesus said. As we look at that, let's just go to prayer right now. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings, and we ask you right now that you minister to us in a mighty way, that you anoint these lips of clay, Lord, that you anoint our ears to hear your word right now. We thank you, Lord, for it right now in the name of Jesus. Well, I have Paul that's going to read my scripture today. He is an awesome help, and we're grateful for his help. So he's going to be reading the scripture, and as you know, most of you know that I'm totally blind, so that's one of the reasons that I'm not reading it, okay? So let's bless Paul, all right?
Paul, are you ready?
Yep. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went and went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. And thanks, Paul. And we want to analyze this. This was a young man that basically came to Jesus in another scripture there. I believe it's about the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked that same question. Now, if this is the same individual, I'm not sure. But anyway, he came and he asked, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And he, asked him, he said, "Are you basically following the law?" Now, this was Jesus talking to him. He said, "Are you following the law? What is the main commandments?" He said, well, he just started quoting him. He says, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy energy, and all thy might." I mean, I paraphrased that a little bit. But then he said, basically love thy neighbor as thyself. This man asked, he said, "Well, wait a minute. Who is my neighbor, though?" And Jesus began to say, there was a man, that came down from Jerusalem, was going, to wherever, but he passed through an area that where thieves hung out and what have you, and they caught him, they beat him up, they ripped all of his clothes off, they beat him, they thought they had killed him, basically, but he survived, And it's amazing what the human body can do, you know, when you get beat up and when you, you know, your head gets jarred and all that, you're unconscious and what have you. But it seemed like a lot of people come back around and they survive a beating. And this man did. He survived it, but he was half dead, is what the Bible says. And so, anyway, but there was a, you know, a priest that came along there. And the priest said, nah, I can't, you know. He looked over there. He seen this man. It was all bloody. He seen him that he wasn't, you know, didn't have any clothes on. He didn't want to get his hands dirty. And so he passed on the other side. And he said, well, I can't, you know, I've got duties to do. I can't, I've got to go to the temple. I got to go to the synagogue, wherever it is. And I got to do what I'm supposed to do. And so he just would not take time to do it. But then also here come a Levi. And the Levi, you know, they were the ones that were supposed to take care of the temple and all of the things of the temple and what have you. And so anyway, he looked on that man and he just was upset. You know, he says, I can't take time to do anything. I've got duties. I've got to be at, you know, at the temple at 1 o'clock. And here it is at 12:45. There is no way that I can do anything. So he passes on the other side too. He says, I cannot, you know, take time to do it. But then there was a Samaritan that came along. And Jesus illustrates this so wonderfully. You know, he says, you know, the Samaritan, who was the Samaritans? We got to look at that and see who were the Samaritans. And we have to go back down, you know, a few places and look and see. This Samaritan, he wasn't a pure Jew. The Samaritans were basically a crossbreed. They were not a pure breed of any kind. And it is very interesting when you look at John 4:35 or 4th chapter of John, and you see the woman at the well. Well, that was in Samaria. And Jesus took time to go through Samaria. And the disciples tried to get him to, you know, trying to get him to go around it. And he said, no, we're going to go through Samaria. And we see an awesome thing that happened while he was at the well. While the other disciples went to get water, get to food, here came a woman at noontime to get water. And Jesus asked her, says, can you give me some water? And she knew he was a Jew. And she says, what do you mean by asking me, a Samaritan, you know, to get you water? We usually don't talk. You know, a Jew will never ask anything and of a Samaritan. And so anyway, they didn't communicate. They didn't work together. They didn't do anything. It was a disgrace to go and, you know, go through Samaria, but Jesus was so kind, so loving, and he began to tell the woman, you know, he says, you know, about who he was and what have you, and he told her, says, you know, he asked her, where's your husband at, and she just said, I don't have any husband. She says, you said right. You don't have any. You've had five husbands, but the one you're living with is not even your husband. You're not even married. And she began to explain, said, oh, yeah, you must be a prophet. And anyway, he said, I can give you living water. And she said, give me that living water. And, you know, it's interesting what happened from that point on. She leaves her water jug right there. She doesn't even go down to get water, but she leaves an empty water jug, and here Jesus is waiting. But what she does, she runs and she begins to tell the whole community of the Samaritans there. And all of a sudden, here came all of the men. They wanted to hear what this woman was talking about. She was the first I believe, the first evangelist in the community. And you just see an awesome thing that's happening right there. If you want to read that story, it's in the fourth chapter of John. And I tell you what, it is awesome. Jesus says something in 4:35 of John. He says, look on the fields. He's telling his disciples, you know. He said, look on the fields. They're white. They're ready for harvest. And he says, don't wait 4 months for the harvest. It is time for the harvest right now. And, you know, when the harvest is ready, you don't want to wait any longer because you don't know what's going to happen. I remember one time when my uncle, he had a wheat field. And we went over there, my dad and I, we went over to his farm, and the wheat was ready for harvest. I mean, it was perfect. It should have been harvested that week sometime. And but he didn't have a combine. And so Dad said, I'll come Monday morning and harvest the wheat. He had about 40 or 50 acres of it. And but would you believe, on that that Saturday night, there come a huge hailstorm that came out of the northeast. Now, Oklahoma usually doesn't have anything that comes out of the northeast. It's usually out of the northwest or the southwest. And so, anyway, a big hailstorm came right down on top of him. It was about a mile or so wide, but it just beat the living daylights out of that wheat field that was totally ripe, ready for harvest. And he got about 10%. When Dad came over on Monday morning and seen that, he was just like, they was just heartbroken, because that was a lovely field of wheat that was ready for harvest on Saturday. But on Monday, it was beat in the ground. The wheat was all over the ground. And, you know, that's why Jesus said, don't wait 4 months for the harvest. And that's what we're trying to tell you right now. It is not time for us to wait. We've got to get up and get going. We've got to be the evangelists. We got to reach our country. We got to reach the you know, those that are unsaved. We need to tell them about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, that he died. He shed his blood for each one of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you just you know, we get back to this story about the Samaritan, and this Samaritan was so kind. I mean, he just, you know, he took that Samaritan, I mean, took that man that was beat up, that was a Jew, and he put oil and just cleaned him up, and he put oil in his wounds, and oil and wine, and you know, the wine purified it, and then he put oil in there to lubricate, and see, that he took him and put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him that day. And the next day, he took care of that night, make sure that he survived and what have you. But the next day, he seen that he was going to be okay. And so he took 2 pennies out. I don't know how much money that was at that time, but it was probably a day's wages or more. And he told the innkeeper, he says, take care of him. And when I come back this way, I will check with you. And if I owe you any more money, I will definitely pay up on this account. So if you'll take care of him. And he said, yes, I'll take care of him. And you know, it's interesting, when Jesus gets through with that, in the other account of the rich man, rich young ruler, he tells him this story, you know, and he tells him, he says, now, I want you to go and I want you to sell everything that you have and come and follow me. Well, this young ruler, he was very rich, and he was, you know, so disheartened when Jesus told him, you know, go sell everything that you have and come and follow me. And you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be all in. Folks, we can't be halfway in and halfway out. He tells us that, you know, we got to be on, we got to be one side or the other. We cannot straddle the fence, We've got to be, you know, either for the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him with all of our heart, or we've got to serve the world. You cannot and you will not succeed if you're going to straddle the fence forever and ever. You've got to get off the fence and say, "Yes, Lord, I give it all to You. I'm all in. I'm not going to hold anything back. Whatever I own, I give it all to You. Whatever your business is, You need to give that business to the Lord. Whatever, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, all your properties and what have you, give it to the Lord. And all your employment, whatever it is, that job, you need to give it to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, this all belongs to You." I just feel like that there's some people out there that you haven't surrendered it all to the Lord yet. You need to do that. You need to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to go where You'd have me to go. I'm willing to do whatever You'd have me to do. I'm willing to say whatever You'd have me to say. Lord, teach me Thy ways. Lead me and guide me and direct me." Oh, praise God. I tell you what, I just feel like the presence of the Lord is moving up on people's lives right now. I just feel stirred in my heart that we've got to be like the Samaritan, you know, and go out wherever it is into the byways and all the streets and reach those that are poor and sick and ill. You know, that's what He told us to do. He said to go out. And that's what we need to do. Go to the nursing homes. Go to the group homes. Go to wherever there is people that is lost. We need to reach them. Go out into those streets, you know, where people are on drugs. And don't be afraid. When you take the Lord Jesus Christ with you, I tell you what, it'll be, you know, the Holy Spirit will go before you. And I tell you what, you won't be afraid. When the old lion roars, you won't fear because you have the power. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but He's given you the power, the love, and of a sound mind. And you can go out there and you can do it in the name of Jesus. I just believe that God is the victory. And, you know, He has given us all the weapons that we need to bring people in from the north and the south and the east and the west. And it's time for us to get off our seats and get off of the pew and get out there and do something for the Lord. I just feel like that a lot of our churches, you know, I've looked at some of the records over the years in our church denomination and what have you. And there is very few people that are winning people to the Lord. They don't never put anything down. At one year, I seen it, there wasn't about 5 to 10% of the churches that was ever putting down anything that was, you know, accounted as souls that were won that year. They didn't have any baptismal, nothing. And I just feel like that we have to wake up, people. We have to wake up and realize that, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we're standing by and sitting on our seats and doing nothing about it. I just ask the Lord right now that He minister to you and give you a wake-up call and say, "You know what? It's time for you to get off that seat. Get up and do something for God right now in the name of Jesus." I think about this rich man. I tell you what, he was so disheartened. And I just think that there's a time, you know, that we basically, we feel like that we justify that, you know, we love the Lord thy God, we love our neighbor as thyself, but we haven't yielded to the Lord totally and completely. I just feel like I need to stress that you just haven't given it all to the Lord. You got to be all in and you know, get your feet wet and start witnessing on the job, wherever you're at. Say something. You know, I know that a lot of times we're the only Bible that people read. And you know, if you stand around and you joke with all the people that are telling dirty jokes and what have you, and you're laughing at their jokes, I tell you what, that is not a very good witness. We need to be holy and pure and, you know, keep our mouth clean and holy. Well, we don't need to be talking that nasty talk and telling dirty jokes and what have you. I just don't believe that's healthy for a Christian to do that. And for, you know, I just believe that we've got to stand up for what is right. And that's what I mean by this. We've got to do what's right this year. In this year of coming up in 2018, we are going to have an election here in a few days. And I just believe that we all need to vote. We need to get out and vote. Christians, we need to get out and vote. So if I could encourage you to get out and vote, I just praise God for that. I just want to see, I don't want to see the left take over. I don't want to see those that are lost and undone take over in our Senate and our House of Representatives. I just believe that we got to rise up. People, rise up and vote. Vote for what is right. Those that are pro-life. Oh, praise God. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that are standing firm for liberty and freedom in the name of Jesus. I just don't believe that we need to be voting for anybody that wants to have a socialist here. I get concerned about America, and they did a survey, and that there's half of the people in the United States that feel like a socialist society is okay. I just know that God didn't intend for America to be that way. I just feel like, you know, we've got to stand for what is right. And I just ask you to stand for what's right today. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Somebody needs to shout a little bit. Praise His holy name. I just believe that there's souls out there to be saved. I just know that there's loved ones that need to be saved. There's children that need to be saved. There's grandchildren that need to be reached and great-grandchildren. There's neighbors that need the voice of somebody crying in the wilderness like John the Baptist. He came crying in the wilderness and telling the people to repent. And that's what we need to be saying. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your name written down in the book of life. If you don't have your name written down in the book of life, when that time comes and when you die, you never know when you're going to die. Just like those kids up there in the Northeast. They was in a limo. They thought that would be a safe way to go to a party and what have you. They were celebrating a party. And there was 18 of them that basically lost their lives in this limo. And you know what? Eternity is right out, one breath away. And I just asked you to ask yourself, am I really, if I was to die today, do I know for sure that I'd go to heaven? I think about that man down in Australia on George Street. I tell you what, if you ought to look it up on witnessing, I tell you what, he was passing out 10 tracts every day for 40 years. And he never had heard whether anybody got saved. And when somebody came to him, when he was an old, old man, anyway, they found him, and the guy had been counting how many people had been won to the Lord. He said every time he would go preach, he was an evangelist, and he said every time he'd go preach someplace, he'd ask him, how did you get saved? And they'd tell him, down on George Street, a little old man was passing out tracts, and he asked me, he says, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And I asked that question today. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? See, folks, this is a question. Are you sure that if you were to die this instant, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? You need to search your heart and ask. If you're not sure, you need to get right with the Lord right now. You need to say, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me of all my sins, and come and let me dwell with you, Lord. come and dwell within my heart right now. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Cleanse me of all my sins. Take that old black thing, that old black heart out of my life in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. I believe that the Lord, you know, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that many of you, you know, you think, well, I just don't believe, you know, that I'm sinning. You know, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But guess what? The gift of God in Romans 6 and 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's why he said in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So are you ready? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? I just believe the Lord is able to come into your heart. He's able to save. You put on the whole armor of God. You know, I just believe that, you know, when you get saved, there is the weapons of our warfare. You know, we're in a battle every time that, you know, that you get up, and all the time that you're asleep and what have you, you're in a battle. And that's why, you know, Paul talked about this. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He said to put on that helmet of salvation for the salvation. Oh, praise God. For your mind to keep it clean and holy, to protect you from all the fiery darts that's coming in from, you know, the enemy and what have you. Then he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. I just believe that we got to be holy and righteous before the Lord. I know that many of you, you just walk in that, you know, the fence line, and you just need to get off that fence line and start walking in righteousness and holiness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then he said, put on the belt of truth. I just believe that we gotta be honest. We've gotta, you know, we gotta be very honest with ourselves. Be honest with people. Don't allow the lies to come out of your mouth. I tell you what, he says that liars would have their place in hell. And I just believe that if you're telling lies, if you don't tell the truth, I tell you what, you need to ask for forgiveness. And that's a tall tale question that we have to ask ourselves. Am I really telling the truth? I just believe that if you don't tell the truth, I just believe the Lord will prick you. The Holy Spirit will prick you. And so I just believe that you need to put on that belt of truth. Then you need to put on the shoes of peace. And you need to walk in peace. You need to be at peace with yourself. You need to be at peace with your family. And be at peace with everyone at school, everyone on your job, wherever you're at. You need to be at peace. And don't get upset. But you need to be at peace. And have that Christian, Christian life. So people read you and know that you're walking in peace. And then you need to take that shield of faith. That shield of faith that protects you from all the fiery darts that's coming at you from the old devil. And just stand firm with that board that is in front of you, that it will quench all the fiery darts. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then take the sword of the Spirit. And what is that sword of the Spirit? That's the Word of God. I tell you what, if you got the Word of God, I just believe that the Word will give you what you need. I know that Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, he used the Word of God on old Satan. And, you know, it is written. And we need to do that. We need to do that every day. Because I know that the enemy is coming against you. I know the enemy is coming around about you. And you need to have that sword of the Spirit and use it. Whack the old devil. Oh, hallelujah. You need to use the word on him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. And we're asking you, Father God, that you minister to souls out there. That you minister to those that are listening. Everyone. Lord, I ask you to be, help them, Lord, to be encouraged in the name of Jesus. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. And we're so excited that you've joined us. And may God bless you. And we'll see you next Sunday. And we're so glad that you joined us. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Hallelujah.